lots of Colfax on this poll question today. The Power to Play sports poll question of the day. You didn't know where I was going with that. When I start thanking you for things, you always are just like, what's he doing? What's he thanking me for? Because we haven't done anything nice for each other in a while, Colfax. So what am I thanking you for?
I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, the poll question, of course.
I'll take it.
Who's winning? If they were to play this weekend, if CSU wasn't going to play Vanderbilt and UNC wasn't going to go up against Houston Baptist and they were meeting, let's just say they're at Canvas Stadium. They're in Fort Collins. Who's winning that football game? UNC or CSU? I mean, we'll never know, but
it's a good question.
It's fun to dream.
I mean, CSU would hold their own against CU like that? Loosely?
I don't know. And you got to think CU's pulling out all the stops in that game too,
because they cannot lose that game.
Mm-mm.
And they're not scared of losing.
I mean, they technically could not lose the UNC game either, but I think they felt confident enough that they could beat UNC without pulling out all the bells and whistles. Do they care that much about would they be that confident in CSU? I don't know. That's a good question too, because you got to think of it that way. You know, I said this about basketball last year. Remember how the games kept getting pushed away and then we kind of had some drama there between UNC basketball and CSU basketball? Like, they weren't going to play because of COVID, and then suddenly CSU just tweets, hey, guess what? We have a game this week. And we're like, yeah, UNC CSU Pueblo. So we had this fun debate over who would win at that point. Remember when I said, and I was wrong, I said, I think UNC could beat CSU basketball. Although they probably could have that weekend because CSU was depleted and all that. That wasn't the case at the end of the season. CSU became a household name. I mean, a national name almost. Football-wise, though, I know it's 1 week in, but if you're playing week two, I was listening to the coach's show live from the GOAT last night, and Coach McCaffrey said, you know, I really wish we could play CU at the end of the season because I feel like we're going to be much better than what we were. Would the Bears go into Canvas Stadium Saturday night and beat Colorado State? It's tough for me to say. But, we got to answer it. Go vote at theholeshow.com. If they were to play this weekend, you know, what you saw. I mean, hell, you heard Steve Adazio said, Mike Brohard told us, Steve Adazio said, offensive linemen were going the other way, the opposite way that the run was supposed to go. That's a pretty scary deal, isn't it? Like, should we be a little more concerned about that comment? I mean, I appreciate the honesty, because you could have just said, miscommunication. Adazio flat out said, I have no idea why this is happening. And the linemen were kind of like, yeah, they didn't really say it was miscommunication either. I'm just saying that's a big deal. My gut's going to say no, Colfax.
That's the safe bet.
Listen, you know me. I cover both. We cover both very closely. And it's not like I'm picking sides. We are the voice of the Bears, but I'm not the voice of the Bears. So people could say, well, yeah, you're just protecting your since you're the flagship station. No, I'm pretty honest about this. I think CSU basketball by the end of the season probably would have made short work of UNC basketball, just the way it was. And that's not a knock on Coach Steve Smiley. You got David Roddy. Wow, that's an interesting name. Isaiah Stevens. They're stacked. And I love what UNC Hoops has to offer, but I'm going to be honest. I just think that CSU, it's a close game. I could see that being like a three-point game or a touchdown game, though, coming down to the wire. But I would give the nod to Colorado State in this case. And somebody just say, tie. Which, again, is not... That's a bad thing for CSU that we're at that point. Where the fact that we're even having this conversation is great for UNC. And I hope someday, Colfax, that we're at a point where UNC is such a good program that they're like a South Dakota State. That they're like, oh, well, that's FCS, but that doesn't matter because they're that good. That means they could compete in the state and be a part of that. But we're calling it what it is. This is the recharge. We're seeing what Ed McCaffrey has. I hope someday that it's not necessarily a knock to say CSU might lose to UNC. I hope someday that that's not a knock. But, I mean, let's face it. Rams fans, you know it. It's a knock for – it's still a knock now, and you guys have been playing the Buffs for how long? It's still a knock if you think that CSU is going to lose to CU, at least to Buffs fans. So it's an interesting debate. You brought it up yesterday. And I got thinking, I'm like, all right, so CSU gets stomped by arguably the best team. And stomped is right in this case because they were. They get stomped by arguably the best team in the FCS. UNC holds their own for the first half against what's projected to be a middle-of-the-road Pac-12 team. So I kind of just look at the opponent again. So you could go into Powerhouse Field and Power Field. It's a good thing I'm not getting paid to say that. And beat Texas A&M, and then suddenly we're like, whoa, all right. I mean, make no mistake about it. Texas A&M is at number five. If CU pulls off the upset, we think Ed McCaffrey's feeling like, you know, like, hey, probably could have held her own against Texas A&M, too. All right, that's a little far-fetched, but I'm very curious to see where that game goes on Saturday between CU and Texas A&M. It's a big moment for them. First Advantage text lines, 970-478-1301. Let's see. Pillow Fight Dan, can I read this? I think my freshman year at CSU, the Rams were terrible and still beat UNC by 30-plus. Not sure this year, though, and what that says about either team. Maybe CSU's bad is worse and UNC's improvement is better? There's no question that UNC has improved since they fired Ernest Collins Jr. I mean, I just saw it on the field. I'm seeing, and that could be easily said by the D-line and Dylan McCaffrey. I saw, and I like Jacob Nipp. Guy couldn't stay healthy, no matter what. Just couldn't do it. I think the Bears just look a little bit better already. And CSU, can you say they're better than when Bobo left? Right now you can't because they're what, 1-4? Are they 1-4? They played four games last year, right? You can't say it. I mean, trust me. If you aren't Rams fans, you should be pressing the panic button. And apparently you are because our poll question on Saturday morning indicated that you were very much so. Well, I mean, what does this mean for Joe Parker? And let me say this. I like Joe Parker. But these poll questions, if they've even seen them on Twitter, they're not good. These are not good for your program. You don't want the poll question from this show, the only sports show that talks about you, to be, could the FCS Big Sky team that was picked to finish last in the Big Sky beat a Mountain West FBS school? That's a bad... Listen, now you guys can come at me and say, well, Brady, that's a terrible question. Whatever, it's a question. I'm not the only one thinking it, because people were saying it all weekend.
We weren't asking it 2 or 3 years ago, were we?
No, we weren't asking. We would have said, that's silly.
Yeah.
I mean, you notice my questions about CU was never, can the Bears beat CU? Did I ever once make that a Power to Play Sports Bowl question? Never. It was, can they cover 38-point spread? That was it. We've asked questions like, who's going to have the better record between those three teams? But that's all in, you know, depending on what conference they're in. Tanner asked me on NoCo Now, I think Friday, who I thought was going to have the better record between those three teams. It's not CSU. Is it CU or UNC? And now, again, the Big Sky being what it was this weekend looks pretty good. I don't know. I hate to say that, because I don't know is the worst thing a sports show host can say. But there is half of me that believes UNC is going to go out Saturday and stomp Houston Baptist. There's the other half of me that thinks letdown game. Because there was all this buildup to CU, Ed McCaffrey's first game, and it just happens to be against his old wide receivers coach, and it's in Boulder. It's the best college football team in the state, the most popular college football team in the state. It's the Buffs. And now it's Houston Baptist. Nobody knows much about that team. So that's my fear there. Eastside Chris, think around robin, NoCo team, college teams. That's what we did in the 30s. Dude, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? The 30s? How old would that make Eastside Chris?
Like pushing
100 and something?
Or just like 90?
Maybe.
Well, then if you're paying attention in the 30s, you have to be at least 15.
Yeah. So you're like 200 years old.
Yeah.
Probably. That's just quick math right there. I've heard Eastside Chris. He's not 200 years old.
No.
I just know that. I can tell by something about me. It's like a gift. I can tell if you're not 200 years old.
He might have the wisdom of a 200-year-old person, though.
That'd be kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, time travel, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's a real deal, at least according to the movies. I'm all for a non... Wouldn't that be great, a non-conference schedule? And I know you may... Would you lose your money games, maybe? But, okay, so CSU plays four non-conference schedule game, non-conference games. That Wyoming's in their conference, so that would be a part of it. If you wanted, I don't think CU would be a part of this. Maybe. It'd be cool, but I don't know if CU would sign off on that. But it doesn't matter when you play them. You just play them at some point, and then you just go, who won the most out of this set? So UNC would play Wyoming every year as a non-conference game, and UNC would play CSU every year as a non-conference game. There's a lot of logistics to that, and I get it. But, I mean, because, again, you're trying to keep... Well, UNC would be like the replacement. I mean, you're paying them. You'd pay them just like you paid South Dakota State to come into your house and beat you.
Yeah.
Well, UNC, I mean, they got to be feeling good. I don't know what they ended up getting for that, what the haul was for the CU game, but they got paid for that game. And they got to come out of it alive. And they're like, you know what? We think we could kind of compete. We could do it. Yeah, I'd be for that. But I can't quite go there. I'm not going to go there. I think CSU beats UNC at this stage. That's not to say UNC doesn't get better. I mean, again, talking to Coach, Dylan hasn't played a full game in like 4 or 5 years. That's nuts. Like a full game.
Yeah.
It's insane to me. 17 minutes after the hour. Let's, you know what? We got to get to our big story of the day. So I don't know if this is that big of a deal. More is coming out about this, but you guys have no doubt heard about it. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. CBS Sports reported on it. Several outlets reported on it. Broncos Bradley Chubb arrested on failure to appear warrant for traffic infractions per report. The Broncos are scheduled, of course, to start up on Sunday. We already had question marks around Bradley Chubb with his injury, but he was arrested Tuesday on a failure to appear warrant, according to court records obtained by Mr. Kliss. The warrant stems from traffic infractions. The records indicate that Chubb was charged for misdemeanor driving under restraint earlier this summer. What is that? Without a license? Is that what that means? Under restraint? What does that mean? Man, not a lawyer. And also for having his license plates expired for 60. So a suspended license, I'm guessing, for 60 day plus. The former number 5 overall pick in the 2018 draft was scheduled to appear in Arapahoe County Court on August 6th. But did not show up. Sergeant Jeff Miller from the Douglas County Sheriff released this statement to 9 News. Mr. Chubb was contacted late this morning for a minor traffic infraction by deputies from our office. After contacting Mr. Chubb, it was discovered that he had a warrant out of Arapahoe County for failure to appear on traffic offenses and was taken into custody and transported to the Douglas County Detention Center and is currently in the process of posting a small bond. I mean, Colfax in this day and age with a lot of junk happening and a lot of players doing some silly stuff. Where does this rank up there in terms of the, oh boy, this is serious and he's a bad guy thing? It's not that big a deal. I'm not saying you should break the law, but it's what it is, man. I don't you imagine this just kind of, they get the bond, they take care of it. And then it's done.
Yeah, I don't foresee a NFL investigation coming down on this one.
Yeah, I don't think so. Vic Fangio said Bradley is a high standing individual. It's over and done with. So I mean, I think this is probably already done. And he is still, his ankle's still an issue too. So we're not real sure if that's going to be the issue going forward. But as far as we know at this stage, it sure sounds like it's not going to escalate much past what we heard yesterday. And sometimes the media, the way they share, I mean, you know, we shared it, but it was a story, it was available, and we shared the headline always looks worse than it is. But that's, again, it's your own damn fault. If you're bitching about the headline, go read the story. Because the headlines are always the headlines. You got to read the story. You get people that are like, oh, this is just trying to get clicks and all that stuff. Well, then click it and read it. Get yourself the full story. Because you're not going to get, you're never going to get the full story on anything by a 4 or 5 word headline. So click the story. Find out. I think this will be fine. It'll blow over. But I guess the other question is too, is that ankle going to hold up for Sunday? And will we ever get to see those two guys healthy and out of their rookie season, out of Bradley Chubb's rookie season? We haven't got to see Chubb and Vaughn outside of the Bradley Chubb rookie season together. And that was his rookie year. So, I mean, I really want to see these two guys healthy and what they can ultimately do, because we'll talk about it later on in the show. I think as much as I believe the Broncos are going to win this, they're going to have their hands full against this Giants wide receiver core. And if Barkley plays the way we think he's going to, then certainly the running game could be tough. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Broncos, Giants, keep getting into that side of it. Shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They're celebrating over 51 years of being specialists in the medicine of motion. Largest privately owned, fully vertically integrated orthopedic and spine medical group in Colorado, and one of the largest in the U.S. How about that? The region's only team of orthopedic subspecialists. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Check out orthohealth.com. It can be bad shoulders. It can be bad back. It can be circulation issues. I have a friend of mine that's dealing with that. It can be a lot of different things. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies can help. Orthohealth.com. 22 minutes after the hour. Power to Play Sports poll questions available at thewholeshow.com. Who's winning if they were to play this weekend in football? Coach McCaffrey's squad? Coach Adazio's squad. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll be right back. We'll take a short break. Are the Nuggets one of the most hated teams in the country, in the land of sports? And if so, why? Talk about it next.
Catch the Ellis and Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour, it's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. I'm feeling like rocking out today on this Wednesday, man. There's so many things to be thankful for, excited for. Tomorrow night, the very first NFL Thursday night special. We got Buccaneers. We got Cowboys. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. I want to get your picks on this too, Hooligans. Because we want to blow Thursday up, make it the greatest day ever, and I need the Hooligans to get involved on that. Mick Akers, don't know that name. Sports, business, and transportation journalist. Let me say it like a human. At Review Journal, got like 11,000 followers, so he's doing good for himself, man. He retweeted this list from the Action Network, American sports teams that received the most negative sentiment online. Can you guess what's number one? Take a wild, wild guess. Just think of hated sports teams. Let's see if you can get this.
I want to say Raiders.
You got it,
okay,
Colts.
Good.
You got it,
good.
Man. They received 14.2%. Second is the Dallas Stars, then the Arizona Coyotes, Philadelphia 76ers, Chicago Bears. Basically, they received the most negative sentiment online. Okay. Toronto Maple Leafs, we go down the list. Toronto is 6. Is that right? Vancouver, 7. Buffalo, 8. Toronto, 9. The Broncos are coming in at 10.
What?
The most negative sentiment online, huh? I don't know how they base this. You go, you scroll down there and you go 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16th most hated franchise is our beloved Denver Nuggets. Like, I get the Broncos. People like Dixon and Chiefs fans and stuff just hated John Elway because he rocked their world so much. You usually hate good teams. The Broncos have been to a lot of Super Bowls. They've won 3. They're right up there with the most Super Bowl victories of any franchise. But the Nuggets? I mean, what's the hate about the Nuggets? They upset the Seattle Supersonics in a Cinderella story in the early 90s with Dikembe Mutombo. It was glorious. Do you hate Melo? You hate Joker? Is that what this is? Is this more Joker stuff? You guys are ridiculous. I saw something the other day, though, from ESPN that was like, there's only one man that stands in the way of the Lakers winning another title this year, and that's Nikola Jokic. Goosebumps. I'm excited for basketball. I know I'm pumped for football. We've only just begun, but basketball season's not that far away. Let's get after it. Let's go. Let's see what this team has. Let's see if Michael Porter Jr. can take that next step. And you know what? If they're going to hate you, go win. Just go out there and win and upset people, because apparently, like, where's like Miami Heat on this list? Are they on it anywhere? Because that was they were hated when LeBron was there. Are the Buffalo Bills hated? They're in this top list. Cowboys, I can make sense. But how are the Cowboys not? They're not America's team anymore. In fact, if you're not a Cowboys fan, you hate the Cowboys. I thought the Patriots were most hated. But now that Tom Brady's gone, I guess that's a deal. The Utah Jazz down the road? Like, who hates the Jazz? They're just a Mormon fan base that doesn't drink alcohol. They're not bothering anybody. 31 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk Buffs. They got a big one coming up this weekend. We'll get Mark Johnson's scope of things. Of course, what happened last week between the Buffs and the Bears. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
This was like the music going on in my head when Ralphie took off and just started running around Folsom Field there. It was magical. It was a great time. Joining us now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, who kind of broadcasted that moment. I went back and heard it after the game. It was fantastic. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Mark, okay, we'll get to the game in a moment. But again, a live Buffalo running around a football field. It's my favorite thing in all of sports.
Oh, it was fantastic. And you know that moment you're talking about. So that segment right before we hit the final break before kickoff is supposed to be Gary Barnett's keys to the game. Well, we come out of the commercial break, and I see they're getting ready to throw the door open, the gate open, if you will, to let Ralphie out. And so I thought, you know what, I just want to make sure I kind of document that. And then she took off, and it was kind of organic. I hadn't even thought about it, but I thought, well, I'll start doing play-by-play of this. And, you know, she goes running around the field, and we have her come into the trailer there in the northwest corner, and I look over at Gary, and I go, man, how great is that? I said, I'm getting a little teary-eyed, and Gary is actually sobbing. I mean,
oh my goodness.
He had tears rolling down his face, as did, by the way, about 40,000 other people in the stadium. Only us hard-hearted individuals weren't getting emotional.
I was just getting pumped up. I was also scared and nervous for the Bears, and you know how it is.
Yeah, sure. No, I get it. But you know what? Here's kind of a fun story for, well, you don't care if you're a Bears fan or a Buffs fan. The night before, my engineer Shannon was there and getting set up, and they ran her out and practiced her a few times. They obviously had been for months, Brady, and they had painted the field, and she goes running. Anybody who deals with livestock understands this. She starts running along, and all of a sudden she stops dead because they put a logo on the field, the Buff logo, and she wasn't sure what to do with it. She didn't want to step on it. Wasn't sure if it was a hole or what it was. And so she actually came to a stop, and they had to coax her across that and get on her stand. So when they let her loose, you know, everyone's wondering, is she going to stop again? Is there going to be a line or something she didn't notice last night that all of a sudden is going to cause you to stop? But But it really was fantastic. A great moment, that ball game.
It really was. I love that. And you know this. I'm a fan of all of our teams in this area.
Sure.
But, you know, I did. I'll admit it. I had a Bears shirt on, Mark. I wasn't in the press box, so I was within my rights to be a fan. But, I mean, you can't help but when Ralphie gets going, it's just like,
right.
I don't care what you're a fan of. And I know there are some, like those Nebraska people. But for the most part, people are like, this is magical. I don't care who you're a fan of.
Well, and you know what's fun about that is doing the Buffs games for all these years, for now 18 seasons, you know, it's always fun. It doesn't matter, if it's Nebraska fans or whoever. When Ralphie comes to that northwest corner, is about to jump in the trailer there, that's the visiting section for the fans at Folsom Field. And especially when it's a night game, you see it. I mean, fans are always on their feet when it's a night game. You see all the flash bulbs going out. People have got their phones out there taking pictures. Everybody loves it. Now, if you're a Nebraska fan, you're not going to admit it. You might not admit it if you're a Rams fan. But they all do love it because it's really cool.
Yeah, no question about it. And I thought it was neat, you know, going as a fan, a lot of students, a lot of Buff students, a lot of fans talking to us, you know, the group I was with. And, you know, they even sent some optimism with the Bears. You know, hey, is Ed going to be any good? Dylan McCaffrey, right? I heard that the defense might be a little improved. Well, Mark, there for a while, it was and I've said this on both sides. I mean, I think the Bears, they fought hard. They stuck in the game. And at the same time, I also understand that maybe the Buffs weren't showing us everything in their arsenal on Friday night.
Well, I think there was a little bit of that. I mean, if you noticed, and I was kind of thinking about this during the game, when you've got really high-level playmakers like Brendan Rice and Demetri Stanley and Levante Chenault and guys like that, and you didn't run any, you know, jet sweeps or tunnel screens or those kind of things just to get them the ball, that kind of tell me they weren't going deep into the playbook. Now, with that being said, I give great credit to Ed McCaffrey and his staff. They came out, and what they did, they played a defense that was very similar to what San Diego State did a year ago. Remember when the Buffs on Thanksgiving Day that night found out they're going to play somebody in 36, 48 hours and really had to struggle in the first half to kind of get a sense of what they're doing and then made adjustments? I thought it was great coaching by Ed McCaffrey and his staff. And I'll say this right off the top here. I thought Eddie and his staff did a phenomenal job. That defensive front, I think, is salty as heck. Mm-hmm. I think Dylan McCaffrey played outstanding. You could tell he's a veteran quarterback. He kept his composure. He made plays. There's, and you know, some of those transfers he brought in, a wide receiver and running back, Tre Wilson. That group is talented, and I'm really excited for them and Greeley and what they're going to do in the Big Sky because I think they were kind of fun to watch. And so ultimately, when it all was said and done, you know, the Power Five team with the deeper roster, those kind of things, eventually rose to the top. They figured out what Ed and his staff are doing, and you know, walk away with a 35-7 win. But I give a great deal of credit to what UNC was able to do.
Well, and Mark, and correct me if I'm wrong, but from your vantage point, it just seemed like when the Bears tried to go outside on offense, that's when you really saw, okay, there is a pretty large gap with overall the athletes here in the depth, because the Buffs, I mean, they just closed in so fast on the outside.
And you know, that's one thing you see a lot of times. And I've got history in that, you know, the 1AA or, you know, FCS level, as it's called now. And I remember that when I was at Illinois State years ago, and we played Minnesota, we played Kansas. And that was the thing that I thought I really noticed. And again, it comes down to numbers, right? The Bears, for example, they've got some high-level athletes out there, undoubtedly. The difference becomes in the depth of a roster. There are more of them. And so even when a guy like Tre Wilson gets to the outside, is able to, you know, there are going to be three or four or five guys on that side defensively going to be able to track him down simply because they're same caliber athletes, and there's more of them. And so that's really where you see the big difference between those two divisions.
Yeah, Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And you know, the Buffs got to that point in the second half where, all right, we're just going to run the ball. You had a lot of guys getting yardage. Of course, Jarek Broussard gets 94 yards. It was one of those games, though, where it just didn't seem like it. They were, especially that second half, they were just chipping away, taking the time off the clock. And at the end of the day, Broussard, you know, he didn't get a lot of work, but he got the job done.
Well, he certainly did. 94 yards there. And you know, Alex Fontenot had a solid day. What did he have? 60, 70, 80, somewhere in that range. And Ashad Clayton came in and had 40 or 50. Deion Smith played very well. Jaylee Stacks, they're very deep at running back. And you know, what the Bears were doing, they kept walking to safety up. They'd have eight guys in the box. And so it was very obvious, I thought, what they were trying to do. They were doing what any smart team is going to do. Okay, you got a first-time starter quarterback. He's only a freshman. We're gonna make it real hard for you guys to run the ball and see if he can make some plays out there. And what we saw from Brendan Lewis is he wasn't willing to make the mistake. And I know there's good and bad with that. And he just like taped a little something yesterday. We're gonna use the pregame show this week. He said, I don't want to make mistakes, but I have to be willing to make throws when they're there. And so he was a little bit cautious. He played clean. Certainly, as he showed, can really make some plays with his legs. Runs very well, and didn't throw any deceptions, didn't have any turnovers. That's a good thing. But as he grows, he's going to have to understand there are going to be some throws that aren't 90% completion throws. I'm going to have to throw some every once in a while that's a 40% completion throw, realizing I got to make a play here to help my team win because the guys who are going to catch it are going to be playmakers.
Mark, is it fair to say this? Okay, 35-7, it's certainly lopsided, but if you were a Buffs fan, even kind of remotely optimistic and somewhat rooting for Ed McCaffrey because he's Ed McCaffrey, I get it. It's almost fair to say you got the best of both situations here. The Buffs got away with 35-7, so they did what they were supposed to do. They won big over a team they were supposed to win big against, prepared themselves for Texas A&M without having to completely open up the playbook. And the Bears kind of held their own enough sure. So where Bears fans can say, hey, there's certainly hope for the immediate future this season.
Yeah, I think both programs, if you're a fan, either side of the fan base, you're going to come out and say, okay, I like some things as I saw there, right? As I said earlier about the talent that Ed's got there at UNC. And when you've got a veteran quarterback, and again, I think Dylan McCaffrey played at a high level like a guy you'd expect who's an experienced guy. I thought he really made a difference for them. So that was outstanding. They've got some talent out there. You feel good about that. From Colorado's perspective, I think you come away with kind of mixed emotions. You feel good because you say, okay, we're going to be able to run the ball. It's a deep running back core. Okay, we can see young quarterback, got room to grow, but you can see what he's able to do. The thing that really disappointed, I think, Colorado and really disappointed Carl Durrell was 12 penalties for 118 yards. And four of them were what Gary Barnett likes to call the selfish penalties, the unsportsmanlike and the personal foul stuff, where you're making big mistakes and really hurting your team. And that's the thing that Colorado's really got to clean up ahead of a meeting with the number 5 Texas A&M on Saturday. And then after that, Minnesota and Arizona State, USC, and on down the line.
Texas A&M, they handle their opponent as well, the Kent State Golden Flashes. That's a mouthful. They win 41-10, and of course, they're right in the thick of it. Fifth in the country yep. right now. So, boy, this is going to be an interesting game. I'm not going this weekend. I'm excited though to hear about what that experience, what the crowd noise is going to be like at this one.
I think it's going to be huge. I mean, Buffs fans are jacked up, obviously. And I've got a bunch of, as we well know here in the state of Colorado, there are a lot of Californians and a lot of Texans. And it seems like every Texan that moves here is a Texas A&M Aggie. I've got must be a dozen friends that are A&M fans. And I always tell them, I go, you guys are like cockroaches, man. You're everywhere. It's crazy. So I guarantee you there's going to be plenty of maroon in that stadium on Saturday. It should be a raucous experience. They've got a freshman quarterback. Buffs have got a freshman quarterback. They've got a lot of talent around them. And I think there's a lot of reasons to really be excited about this game on Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, you some could say this is a measuring stick type game. But, I mean, you tell me, Mark, what's the sentiment there from the Buffs side, Carl Durrell's side of the camp? I mean, they're looking at this thing saying, hey, we're going to go in and we're gonna shock a really good football team.
Yeah, I don't think – listen, you have to think that way. And so I don't think there's any doubt that's the message they've been preaching. You don't back down from anybody. You don't question yourself against anybody. You figure you can compete with anybody in the country. And so they just know they've got to play better, right? Clean up the small stuff. Let Brandon Lewis make some of those throws because there were open receivers last week he wasn't willing to throw the ball to. Okay, so take care of that. They did a lot of experimenting on that offensive line, played a lot of players on the offensive front against UNC. And so – I'm thinking they probably found some answers, some combinations they kind of like in that regard. Defensively, I thought, obviously, Colorado played very well in that ball game, holding UNC to only 20 yards. I think that'll be an interesting aspect. Watching the offensive and defensive fronts against Texas A&M is going to be real interesting. And so I think there's a lot of aspects that I think will be fun to watch. And I do think, listen, we'll find out more about Colorado when it's all said and done. Next week, and you and I are talking on Wednesday, we're going to have some better answers as to what exactly Colorado is.
Yeah, no question about it. Mark, appreciate you, man. I'm looking forward to this opportunity for the Buffs. I mean, this could be really cool for Buffs fans and Coach Carl Durrell to see what this team's all about.
I'm looking forward to it. Who do the Bears have this weekend?
Bears are playing Houston Baptist, so they should win that game. But my fear is like, hey, you got this big buildup for the CU game, McCaffrey's first game. It's going to be hot there. It's on the road. So, I'm feeling really good about it on one side, and then the other side, I'm terrified as well. That's usually my life, though.
Listen, man, Ed McCaffrey's played in a couple of pretty good football games. There's a little bit of attention on some of those games he played in. I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah, hey, Bears fans, hoping you're right, my friend. Mark,
Always
a pleasure. It was cool to get the cross-promotion thing going on with Jerry and you, of course, in the interview. I mean, it was a really cool night for so many reasons.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Jerry and Aaron, when I ran into them up there, they were trying to push me around a little bit. I didn't take it. I put them both in a headlock and gave them noogies, but they were trying to come at me, and I realized that you never showed up.
No.
Part of that free for all, so I'm questioning you a little bit.
I started this whole fight in the drama, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to hide in the student section back there, so I was safe, but that's what I do. I kind of stir the pot, and then I get out of there.
You're one of those guys. You know, there are guys like you that were in pro wrestling all these years. Bobby the Brain Heenan, you're kind of the Bobby the Brain Heenan of the radio.
Hey, I love it. Hey, he was good, right? He was good, so I'll take it. Mark, appreciate it as always, man. We'll catch up with you next Wednesday.
All right, brother. See you.
Yeah, I had to start a little rivalry there. You know, I mean, we love Mark, but not on Bears Buffs Day. Not on Bears Buffs Day. And Jerry and Aaron, Jerry Schimmel and Aaron Rath did a phenomenal job on Friday with that broadcast. I had the TuneIn app, of course, put it up. I looked like a stud just holding the phone up to my ear listening to it, but they were fantastic. It was a lot of fun listening to that call. Last night's coaches show was fantastic. That was great. Kaylee Joe, stud volleyball player, was on the show last night, Big Sky Conference player. They just found out before the show started, and they had already scheduled her to be on with Jerry at the coaches show live from the GOAT, so it kind of worked out. That volleyball team is legit. Undefeated at this point. They play Texas Tech at 6 o'clock tonight, man, and at Bank of Colorado Arena. You want to see some good volleyball. That might be the best. That's the best volleyball team in the state right now, UNC. 12:49 the time. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up our number one. Let's take a look at the Giants wide receiver core and NFL rankings. And you know what? Let's ask this question in the second half. Where, what's the future hold for Drew Lock? Does he have a future with the Broncos next year? Let's talk about it next.
For all things Rams football, tune in to Rams Weekly, Thursday nights at 5 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
This week's Game Beer of the Week. We're in that mode. Pumpkin, Oktoberfest, all that. Crabtree Brewing in Greeley. Made available at On the Rocks Liquor, our go-to liquor store here at The Hull Show, and they have been for a very long time. This one is Chunkin' Punkin'. I've had that before. That's delicious. I absolutely love it. I kind of get into that. You know, I like the Oktoberfest-style beers, and I don't hate the pumpkin beers either, Colfax.
They get a lot of hate.
They do.
I don't know why.
It seems like the coffee gets more hate than the beer, but I like the beer. You like pumpkin?
I love pumpkin everything.
Yeah, me too.
But pumpkin beer is great.
That's fantastic, and it gets me in the mode. Yeah. So you guys get in the mode. Check them out. Crabtree Brewing and Greeley. Again, made available at On the Rocks Liquor. On the Rocks, always hooking it up with local breweries. Pick up selections from Crabtree or any of your favorite adult beverages. And hey, while you can, stop by, cool off by picking up some alcohol-infused ice cream by La Creme when you stop by. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. Well, looking around at this wide receiver core for the Giants, there's no doubt about it that this group is much improved. They went out and got some free agents. They tried to bolster up their skill positions. Question marks, I suppose, around the offensive line. There's question marks around Daniel Jones. But if they can get Saquon Barkley back, then, and again, we're expecting him to play. He's questionable. Kenny Golladay should be. I mean, fantasy numbers, all that. He should be one of those guys where the Broncos are really going to be tested there. Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, tight end, Evan Ingram, Kyle Rudolph. So many guys listed as questionable on the injury report here. So, I mean, if you're the Giants, this is a scary one. like Zach Stevens told us yesterday, the Giants view the Broncos game the way we're viewing the Giants game. That it's, okay, that's one of them you got to win. Which kind of sucks, because that's where you are as a Denver Broncos fan now, is you're a winnable game on anybody's schedule, and that means anybody. If you're one of the worst teams in the league, which the Broncos coming in, most of the projections are saying just that, and we'll get into more detail, but this is going to be a heck of a test for what I believe will be a top five defense. I don't think the Giants are going to blow anybody away, but if this cornerback crew is as good as we're advertising, then they should be able to shut down a what looks to be a pretty talented wide receiver core for the Giants. We'll talk about that more coming up next. Also, Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network. Mountain West is looking pretty good, too. So a lot to get to on this Wednesday's edition of The Whole Show. We'll be right back.